This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Staub Audio Engineering. If you have listened to any of the episodes, you have undoubtedly heard me talk about Mike and the phenomenal audio engineering work that he does. His mixes and masters are truly some of the best that I've ever heard. I love working with Mike on all of our Dreamfield tunes, on all of our Summit One tunes. He is an absolute wizard. Make sure to hit him up, inquire about mixing and mastering prices, and take your tracks to the next level. Oh, yeah. And Mike is also one of the nicest, kindest human beings you'll ever meet. Definitely hit him up and work with him.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all of the producers, artists, and creators that are tuning into the show. My name is Cody Christensen, and you are listening to the Chilled Samples Podcast.
And Phil, my dudes, welcome to the podcast. I am stoked to have you both on. This has been on the calendar for a couple months at least, and you guys gave me the opportunity to listen through the beat tape, the album that you guys produced, and I recently listened to it, and I am absolutely blown away. It was so refreshing. It was such a refreshing compilation of tunes to be able to listen through. And Ben, I was telling Phil, so of course, lo-fi music, I play saxophone, but primarily I produce electronic music. And so as I'm listening through this beat tape, I'm thinking about Prob's Cause. I'm thinking about Big Gigantic Grizz. I'm hearing all of these beats. I'm hearing Pretty
I've
Lights.
I've seen Big Gigantic live, man. Big Gigantic live and Pretty Lights. Yep.
Beautiful. Yeah.
I was a festival goer for a while.
Oh, yeah. Good, man. Good. Well, yeah. So as I was listening to it, I was just so hell inspired of like, ooh, could continue to take this further. But I can't compliment you guys enough. And it was truly refreshing to be able to bump some new tasteful tunes. So fellas,
I'll turn it over to you, Cody. First off, thank you, man, for having us on. I really appreciate it. Love the podcast. It's definitely an honor to be here, and thank you for the kind words about the mixtape, dude, about the album. And yeah, it was Ben and I worked on it for a very long time, put it all together. The kind of way is that cool if I start Ben on this? And
oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. And it was a long time. It was a long time. Yes.
It was a long time.
It's the longest I've ever worked on something.
So basically people may know, like if anybody follows me on Instagram, I upload a ton of beat videos, scratch videos and shit. So I like using hardware to do that stuff. It's just more interesting for the viewer. So I had all these videos of all these tracks that were kind of just loops that I made just kind of for Instagram. And I'm just kind of sitting here like, dude, what am I doing sitting on all this shit? Like, this could be a full album. And I was telling Ben this and he's like, well, I'll help you do it. And I was like, oh, well, fuck, let's just do it. let's just make a project out of this. We're both pretty busy with our own music and collabs and all that stuff. I was like, let's just do this on the side and we'll just slowly get it done. No pressure. Yep. Let's not worry about labels. We're going to put it out ourselves. Let's make it like super heavy hip hop. Let's do super heavy sampling, like still be scratching on it. And, Ben was all for it. And man, we're just so stoked on how it came out. And now the singles are starting to come out. The full album drops July 14th. It's called Beats That Drip Through the Night. And I hope everybody likes it and digs the kind of harder tunes that we put together. And it's kind of like the way we have the tracks, it just kind of flows from beginning to end. There's like a cool intro and then there's like a lighter sound. And that's to me, that's the symbol of like, boom, let's spark it up. And let's like let this beat tape run. So anyway, sure. that's kind of the backstory of the whole thing.
Yeah, when Ale asked me about it, I was like, this is kind of a match made in heaven, because he has like, I have all these beats sitting around, only made them for Instagram. And I like used to do that. I used to do Instagram beat videos all the time, and it was like taking up too much of my free time. So I was like, I'm just gonna like post the artwork and just like work on the releases or whatever. So I kind of like was more on that. And I was like, I'm more like, once I have a beat started, I like have to finish it type thing. And that's why it was nice to work on an album too. Cause like, I like have been doing singles for so long because I've gotten to the point where I can like finish one song at a time and then just keep going. As whereas most producers have like hundreds of beats they're working on at once. Mm-hmm. And that like always gave me anxiety. I wasn't able to do it. So I finally got into that workflow. So like Ale showed me like one after another. I'm like, what is this? Or how about this? What about that? And they were all fire, all just Instagram videos. And I'm like, dude, yeah, let's fucking go, you know, like let's do this. So I was like really excited to like have a project that we both agreed on, like no pressure for also.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, and I love the starting point of like recycling creative material of like, wait a second. There's so many song starters that are already developed. It's like let's get these evolved and turn them into full tracks. And so you guys talked about it taking a while. When did you guys first like when was the decision of like we're gonna make an album out of these?
I might remember. What do you think, Ben?
I have no idea.
Yeah, maybe like six months ago or something like that.
I was
that.
Gonna say I swear it was end of last year. Yeah, like it might have been like end of last year, beginning of this year. So at least, yeah, probably around 6 months at least, I would guess. Because like weeks would go by and Ale would be like, so what about that last track or whatever? Because like I knew it was like no pressure. So we'd both like do our own thing for like weeks. And it was like so refreshing to like come back to it and be like, oh yeah, that was really dope. Let's keep working on that. Like I've never been in a space like that.
And I'd say too, like we wanted to give like a nod to kind of, to kind of our favorite like hip hop artists, dude. Like you'll hear the beat tape, you'll hear everybody we sampled and stuff, and that's kind of another reason why we wanted just to put it out too, because we don't want to have to worry about, you know, labels tripping over like if we grabbed an acapella or something. But it's just a nod to the love of hip hop, really.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Especially like the 90s era. And Ben is more, and I like Ben's taste because he brings this late 90s, early 2000s West Coast feel. And I'm more of like influenced by like East Coast, the East Coast sound. So you'll hear both styles like working together on the album for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And that's what was really cool about it too, is like I used to, and we might get into this more later too, but I used to rap before I like went fully instrumental. And I did that for like many years in college. So like I listened to Dre and Snoop and Tupac. So I was like very like West Coast influence. Like all my beats were like that. Transferring into lo-fi, I was kind of like, I mean, I'm not going to stop doing that. I'm just going to like transition into the sound and like, you know, add the little effects that are necessary. But yeah, so it was really cool hearing Ale's, like, and another thing I was going to mention, too, is that, like, this genre is lacking this kind of music, too.
Like, yeah,
all of our peers are, like, making waves, man, but, like, I'm really, like, I think it's lacking that, like, raw, like, 90s, like, boom bap type sound. People are doing it, but they're not getting playlisted the same, they're not getting streamed the same, so, like, I wanted to, like, bring this to the forefront more so also.
Yeah.
This type of style.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's certainly why it was refreshing, right? It was refreshing for me to listen to it because it was a spark of inspiration, and like I said, like, instantly I was inspired to start going in my own directions, which is, in my opinion, is my favorite type of art, you know, where I'm like I'm consuming the art, wanting to make more art based on that. And I love that you guys approach this with a no pressure perspective of we're not even going to mess with labels because we don't have to worry about clearing samples. And we're not even gonna focus on playlists, which of course is the name of the game for so many of us.
We're still getting playlists though. That's what I'm saying, man.
Yeah.
Is our attempt to like be like, no, it's still worth it, you know. And we have some hookups and that we're ready to accept it, you know.
We've had some good playlist support. Great. I'll say on the first two singles, like way more than I thought. Like
We've been very surprised, to be honest.
Dude, well, I have a feel, I don't want to blow too much smoke, but like as I was listening to it, I was like, this is, this is a magnificent piece of of tunage, just a magnificent
Thank
piece
you,
of
bro.
Art.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't say that lightly. I consume a lot of art on a daily basis, and
yeah, I would bet, man. I would bet.
And when I get truly excited, that's special. So kudos to both of you. And it was a result of that no pressure and both of you guys just doing what you love.
That's it, dude. That's it.
That's doing
what we love. Like, it's I just wanted to do this so bad and just like not worry about the end result. Let's just enjoy the journey.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Ben and I had so much fun just working on it.
Oh, yeah.
Him and I have become like super good friends because of this. And we talk almost every day now, and we've got way more music on the way. So many good things come out of it. So that's just kind of my advice to people. Like, don't look at collabs like, let's do this and get this shit on playlist and let's make this money with it. Like, no, think of it as like, build a friendship with somebody, like put the effort into it, put the time in, and best just have fun, because the end result will be so much better, you know?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, it's much more refreshing to like go at it from that way of like having fun rather than be like, oh, like our two names together could like really like make an editorial or something, you know, like, and I get that right. Like strategy part of it or whatever, but like, and I'm in on that also, but like at the same time, you got to be like, yes, we're two bigger artists, but also we're like also trying to have fun through all of this chaos and stress that like the genre brings sometimes, you know? So like, this was like super awesome to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's what we both needed, I feel like.
Yeah. Well, when did you guys connect? I'm assuming it was Instagram, as so many of us.
So
I got the best story.
It was the beat tape,
so,
right?
Like,
yeah.
I heard
he told me the story.
No.
And I didn't even know it.
No, dude. No, what happened, Ben? What happened is I heard your track,
He's
Candy Skies.
Me again.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling the people, dude. It ain't just
us. It's for the people, man.
Yeah, it's for the people. But I heard Ben's track, Candy Skies, and the shit bumped so hard. And I was like, man, nobody's like making kind of stuff like this that's in the lo-fi kind of genre. So I immediately just shared the tune on my stories. He hit me up to tell me thanks. And I was just like, dude, let's make music. And then it took a while, but we just like started talking randomly, like I'd say months after that. And that's when we started
Crazy,
like
dude.
Becoming friends. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's wild, man. Cause like what's ironic about that is that Candy Skies song was like my first like breakthrough into the genre too. It was the label Chill Select. And it was like the first beat tape that I got on that actually got me like a significant amount of streams. And I was like super pumped on it. So, and that's just so funny that that's when Ale and I met. That's like when I was just starting to level up and feel like I like could actually make it or whatever. So
and
it was
I,
like really good time.
And I, yeah, and I heard it because Carlos shared it on his Chill Select account.
Yeah.
And I followed Chill Select, so that's how I even heard it.
Yep. But, dang. Well, thank Carlos, man.
Hey, Carlos.
That's so cool. Dude, and what I want to mention too, it's an Instagram like superpower to be responding to the people that are sharing one of your songs. Because once you start to have more tracks out, it happens more often and you're just like, oh cool, someone shared my song. Like, don't take that for granted ever, because like look what happened when I like actually responded to Ale and thanked him for it. Because I could have just saw the share and been like, oh yeah, cool, thanks man. Yeah, I know it's a good song. Blah 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 blah. But like actually like reaching back out, like it's led to so many cool collabs, so many cool connections for me over the last 2 years that like it's insane. And I haven't stopped doing it.
Yeah, I think that's such a powerful point, and it's I certainly take it for granted sometimes, but I think it was yesterday I was reflecting on this. I was like, one of these days I need to log who I talk to and like what country they're from and see how many people in a single day that I talk to from all over the world. Right. And it's probably like 30, you know, or the 20 or whatever.
This business is so cool like that. Yeah. This business is so dope in that way.
That's the thing about this scene, man, is like, you know, you like you said, dude, you're learning about other cultures at the same time. You're making friends in other countries. It's just like so amazing, dude. Like that's how I hooked up with Shiro, dude. I probably made like over 50 tracks with Shiro.
Wow.
just because
that's wild.
Because of Theo hit him up to tell him I wanted to collab with him, and mm-hmm. and Shiro made this really nice comment to me on a comment I left on one of his tracks, and he goes, "Dude, why haven't you hit me up to collab?" And I was like, "Honestly, bro, I just thought you'd say no."
He yeah, goes,
what?
Yeah,
no, for dude, sure, man. Like, come on, let's make music. And now he's the way him and I work. He'll send me like 8 to 10 sketches at once and be like, you know, let's do these, and I'll be like, send them all, let's do it. And that's just been cool too, man. That's another yeah. great thing about this scene.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's magical. And just like you guys were talking about having the West Coast and East Coast influence on this album, I think through all of those yeah. collaborations, not only are we learning about those cultures, but all of these different mm-hmm. cultures are seeping into the collaborations mm-hmm. unknowingly, really. It is truly special, and I definitely take it for granted sometimes, especially I guess we have three Midwesterners here, two of us Colorado based, but yeah. originally yeah. from the Midwest.
Who would know? Yeah, dude, this is like everyone yeah. from the Midwest and lo-fi.
Yeah,
it's like all three of us right yeah. here.
Which is perfect.
Dude, it's crazy
ben,
the
was,
amount.
Ben, like, it was crazy. Like before, go ahead.
Oh yeah,
I was gonna tell you
people...
like.
Oh, we're lagging a bit. That's
go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
It's crazy the amount of people that like are like the amount of people that are actually in America that I'm talking to is so low. I like realized that the other day. I'm like, what is going on here? Like, it's like Ale and like CMJ Connor, one of our other good friends, and like a couple others, and the rest are just like everywhere else, dude. It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah,
it's so cool.
I was gonna say though, Ben, it's crazy because Cody and I used to live 15 minutes apart. So
yeah,
like,
no,
him and I would,
yeah.
Him and I would just go meet for lunch and like end up hanging out for 2-3 hours, mm-hmm. just like sitting at a table, just like talking about shit. It was mm-hmm. it was great. Yeah. And then Cody went up and moved like 4 hours.
I know,
away.
Moved to the mountains,
which
has been phenomenal. And Ben, I want to mention, as I was getting everything set up. Phil had logged on before I knew he was on there, and I was just bumping to myself, once upon a time in Minneapolis, because Atmosphere, favorite rap group of all time personally.
Really? Wow. So cool, man.
Yeah.
I've seen him more times than I can count. Probably not recently. Obviously. I just saw he like dropped an album.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Or like an EP or something. And it was wild. And like, his voice still sounds the same. I cannot believe it.
Yeah.
But I've seen him all over the place in Minnesota.
I bet,
man. I love him.
Well, and it's funny because I went to Atmosphere. It was last weekend, last Saturday. But I was curious. I was thinking to myself, because I've seen him at Red Rocks a bunch. I guess I've all.
With me. With me, Cody.
Dude, that's
yes,
so awesome.
Yes, the first time I met Phil in person.
He
was at Red Rocks. You're right.
Dang,
totally
man.
Right, dude. Damn, I was going to breeze right past that. You're totally right. That's the first
it
time we
like,
met in
it
person.
It was like Red Rocks, I was there. Yeah, it was like Red Rocks, yeah. I was there. I was there. Yep, no, I'm at every Red Rocks.
Man. Yeah, that's the first time we officially met in person. What a cool place to meet in person.
Yeah, holy shit, I bet.
So cool,
I
dude.
Bet.
It's amazing. I remember you're just like, yeah, I'm up here at this beer stand. I'm wearing this. I came up. I was like, to Julian, I was like, holy shit, there he is. We came over, and it was just like, boom, instant friends, dude.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah, God. For sure.
Damn, how
that's
special.
Awesome. Yeah, dude, my family is actually in Wyoming. We all, like, lived in Minnesota, but they moved to Wyoming. So, like, I visited them last year, and they're telling me about all the stuff. And I was like, Ale was super pissed because I was, like, really close to him. And I didn't even think about it. But yeah, we drove around the area and they were like, oh yeah, Red Rocks is this cool. And I'm like, Red Rocks is around here? What? And it was so wild. So yeah, next time I'm over there, I will for sure be hitting you guys up.
You have to. That's it's a christening in the concert world. No doubt about it. So I've always wondered to myself, like, I wonder what an Atmosphere set would be like in Minnesota, just because Minneapolis specifically. Just because it's home venue.
I don't know any different. I don't know any different because, like, that's pretty much the only spot I've ever seen him. The best show I saw was probably at Soundset, the thing he used to put on every year.
Mm-hmm.
And That was the year Snoop Dogg was there. Like Tech Shit. Nine, Mac Miller. Man. I was telling Ale, Mac Miller was there too. Like it was like the plethora of like all my favorite artists, and it was like probably the coolest show I ever saw. And it was outside, and like it was the best. It was like a grab bag of everything I wanted to see.
Wow.
So yeah, it was absolutely wild. Yeah. So I mean, to answer your question, it's pretty crazy in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Like obviously everyone knows him. You're from here. Like it's homecoming, you know, that type of shit. So like, yeah, it's pretty crazy. Everyone knows the lyrics. Like I'm sure that happens all around the country, but it's more so here.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like what Eminem is to Detroit, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure.
I had to guess.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. Well, and so we know Phil's background in electronic music and kind of coming from the dubstep world into the beat making scene. Ben, were you rapping before you were making beats?
So I started both at the same time. So I kind of like, I graduated high school that first summer. Me and my friends started like this rap duo, and I was using GarageBand to make all the tracks. So like from the very beginning, I was like making my own beats. And I always say a lot of my raps are like super cheesy, and like I cringe at most of them when I hear them. Most of them aren't on the internet anymore, thank God. But I don't take that time of my life for granted, because it led to being right here, obviously. Mm-hmm. So like, and having history in making rhymes, it gave me a lot like more, I was more tuned in on like arrangement and like keeping the tracks interesting, like not having just a loop. Cause like I always needed to have like a good chorus, and like I played my keys along with it. So I needed like more impactful parts and stuff like that, to make the show more interesting. Mm-hmm. So like I did start beats like right around like 2009. So like, wow. I've been producing pretty much since then, producing hip hop since then. Yeah. Yeah.
Long time. Damn.
Yeah. I never changed. I've never tried like any other genre. Like I have done like, I did like some synth wave for like a month.
Yeah. Yep.
I just like wanted to try it and like make all my own like custom synth sounds and stuff. And
he's like, fun. Look, lo-fi boys out, lo-fi girls doing synth wave.
Let's get some synth wave action.
Let me see if I can fuck with this genre.
It wasn't because of that. It wasn't because of that. I'm just kidding, dude. No, that was probably
just
like
a coincidence.
Like 2 years
just
ago.
A coincidence.
Yeah, just a coincidence, man. Just a coincidence. No, that was like 2 years ago. It was when I was still making Instagram videos, and I was like making some synth wave, and that was fun. I went back to hip hop after that.
But you weren't releasing under Benjamin Beats until like 2020, no. Right? Or 2021?
Yeah, yeah. So Benjamin, I was calling myself Benjamin K, which K is my last initial. And that was kind of like my rap name, like throughout all of college. So like all the way until like 2016 or so. And then I had a couple years where I moved to Minneapolis. I was in St. Cloud for school. So I moved to Minneapolis around like 2016. Mm. And from there I had kind of like a little hiatus of like figuring out what I wanted to do. So I was like still playing a few shows, like the venues here, like I didn't know as well, and not as many people came because I didn't know as many people here. So I kind of like gave up on that, and I was kind of like, I really enjoy beats. I'm kind of like not caring about the lyrics as much. So I kind of just like started investing in that. So I came up with Benjamin Beats. Before I started releasing lo-fi, I was trying to like sell beats. So I was kind of like, oh, all these dudes have like their name ending in beats, right? So I'm like, oh, okay, I'll switch it to Benjamin Beats then. And I made like a logo and like had like a BeatStars account and all this. And I was doing that for like a couple of years. And then I found.
Did you sell any
lo-fi
then?
Things. Oh, did yeah. You sell I sold. Then? I was cheap. I was a cheapskate, dude. I was selling them for super cheap.
Like how much?
I was doing like 50 a beat, but it wasn't like an exclusive, so I could sell it multiple times. I think the most I sold one for was like 150, so that was kind of cool, but like it was like few and far between, right? It was like I was not making as much as like I am now. So it's like I would go months and then like get a guy to like buy a beat for $50, and I was like, yeah. I can buy some weed or like a bottle of liquor or something. You know, like, but like not obviously anything substantial. So where I got Benjamin Beats from, though, because I was like a producer at that point, not a rapper. And then that kind of just I honestly can't even remember what got me into making chiller music, but I was just like kind of experimenting, and it kind of just happened, I think.
Nice.
Cause like the beats I used to make when I was rapping, it was like a lot, or the beats I was trying to sell, even, it was like trap and like super heavy West Coast and like stuff that wouldn't make it in the genre that I'm in now. So I don't know. I must have like started listening to lo-fi here and there and been like, I can do that type thing. I don't know. Like it was still hip hop, you know, and it's obviously not the slower stuff. I like the upbeat beats. So like I found some of like the more upbeat, like groovy jazz hop. And I was kind of like into that. So I think it was just natural. Yeah.
Dude, that's the way it goes, dude, with me too. It's just like, I found it on Spotify and I'm like, I started finding like Swum, Beside You, Sleep Dealer, all these, and I'm like, God, this is just fucking like 90s hip hop, just kind of more chill.
Dude,
like,
it's like an MF Doom without his lyrics. Like, that's the type of shit that
dude,
I like.
Dude, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%, dude. And man, it's just like, once you, in lo-fi, there's so many people making it. Once you find kind of the artist you like really like, it just leads to more and more and more. And pretty soon you're just like, holy shit.
For shit.
This,
for
I
sure,
love
dude.
This
like,
genre.
Yeah, and it just like it kind of just does it for you. Like it's not you don't even necessarily have to do the work after a while. And that's what like I try to tell these newer artists. Like there's so many like it's like a plethora of people showing up every day. Like I'm trying to do it now too, you know? And like a lot of them have fire stuff. And they just think it's going to happen right away. And I'm like, no, you just got to like give it time and you're going to meet the right people, meet the right clicks. And it just happens naturally. It really does.
Cody, tell the story of your first beat, your first lo-fi beat that you uploaded and what happened.
Oh, so Icy Waters, the very, very first lo-fi beat I released under Summit One.
It was
landed.
Interviewing now.
It landed on lo-fi beats.
His
very first
that's
one.
I'm telling you, dude, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah, very first
it's
one.
Like landed as in like on lo-fi beats or what?
Yeah, yeah. It was placed for like 11 months.
Yeah.
But
that
honestly,
is absolutely
it's
wild.
Very first
and it's because so my trajectory was it would have been the beginning of March 2020. My bandmate and I, we literally just got back from Denver from a string of shows in Ohio. And we're like, okay, we just practiced our sets dialed. We're ready to rock and roll for live gigs. And then COVID. And then COVID hit. But I literally pivoted to lo-fi immediately. And then I released Icy Waters in June. So it was really like a 3-month period of like just a hard transition from, okay, no more live gigs. I'm going to make this lo-fi stuff. And I had just been super inspired by Cloud Cord and Soul Food Horns, Koi Pond.
I'd been bumping that. Yeah, I know their favorites.
Oh my God, dude. And so I was bumping that album literally on the way for that string of shows in Ohio. And so as soon as I got back and COVID hit, I was like, I'm going to try this lo-fi beats thing. And then landed on lo-fi beats, which is incredible. But that spurred, who knows what my trajectory would have been without that immediate success. Cause I started the podcast.
Yeah.
Only
dude,
like 6 months after
that.
You're
probably like, this is like easy. What is everyone talking about? You're like, this is easy.
Dude, it's super easy. Just upload a song. But that got me hyped. That got me super hyped. And then like, I think you guys are going to be like episode like 97 or 98 or 99, somewhere around there.
Congrats on that, man. Cody. Congrats
Thank
on
you.
That too. I remember right when you were just not just started, cause I didn't know you yet, but I discovered you probably very early on and, man, so cool that you just keep this going, dude. Everybody loves it. Everyone that I talk to loves this podcast.
Yeah, well thanks, man. Well it
yeah dude, I was looking it up and I was like, he's got like everybody and their brother on, like he's like
yeah,
we're like the last ones he hasn't talked to, like,
it has,
it's absolutely crazy. I was like, you got Desh.
it has turned into like just a wonderful friend making tool. There's no doubt about it. And it's yeah, it's turned into something of its own. It's one of my favorite things that I get to do. You know, I just get to share conversation with people and ask, like, who are you? Where are you from? And, like, how'd you become the person you are? Mm-hmm. Which is
right. Exactly.
So cool. Exactly.
Which is awesome.
So cool.
But that all started most likely from landing that track, you know, showing that it was possible immediately of, like, whoa. And it was fully
That's
independent,
crazy.
You know, as a fully independent team, very first track.
That is the That's what me and Ale are still trying to do, man.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting because when I listen back to it, so obviously I was bringing my electronic music production idea into lo-fi beats. Like that was my reference point. And on the second drop of Icy Waters, I went halftime and did a trap pattern. So like when I listen through now, it's like I wouldn't do that. But back then I was just having I was just having fun.
No way, man. Halftime is great.
Because you didn't really know. You're just like having fun.
I was just having fun. I was like, I'm gonna make a trap drop, except rip saxophone and make it super chill. And it's landed.
Such a good track, Cody. And it's such a good
and
track.
And honestly, I'm gonna listen to it too. That sounds dope as well.
Oh, it's the intro to the podcast.
It is. It is.
Oh, yep. Oh, okay.
Such a good track.
Thanks, man. Yeah, well, I kind of...
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, the creativity blessed me on that first one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, brother. And we've made some good tracks together, you and I, with your sax, dude. And it's just... That track, Glacier, we did was so sick.
I know, man. That was almost 2 years ago at this point.
Isn't that crazy to think about that? I know. And
nope.
And then we've been working... You know, I've done some stuff with Dreamfield, mm-hmm. and that's always great. Different vibe, totally. For sure, but also like great and like super fun to work on. And the Dreamfield stuff that you guys have been doing lately is phenomenal, dude. That stuff with Gosan is just sick.
And being able to work with Gosan, working with Henrik and Kelly is unbelievable. Like being in between those two musicians is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And working with Kelly, man, I'm telling you. Like, I pride myself on working hard. That dude works harder than anybody I know. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely absurd.
Uh-oh, we just lost Ben.
We lost, but we'll see if he clicks back through. It won't affect anything.
But anyway, dude, the Dreamfield stuff is phenomenal. And I see, like, the stuff you're releasing with Theo, too, with Dreamfield.
Those are a ton of fun. So those are fun because it's they feel untethered. It's like Theo gets to have fun with the drums and Kelly and I get to add a little more energy. And fortunately Den Haku picks those up when they respond every few months.
Blow up. We're blowing up Den Haku.
No, I do love releasing Dream Beats with them. And I mean, we've already released, I think we just got Dream Beats Volume 4 signed.
Yeah, I think you're right. And we should clarify for the people too, when we say Theo Azito 88.
Yes, Azito 88.
Yo.
Yeah. Ben's back. Cool.
Ben's
I
back.
I am so sorry.
Ben,
I'm back. I got the connection. I'm having issues here. I'm so sorry.
You've ruined the entire podcast.
Scratch it. No, scratch it. We'll get another one on the books for like 3 months.
yeah, just wait another 3 months. No, I was telling Haley yesterday, I was super anxious about getting all this stuff set up. I never do anything like this. I'm not tech savvy. I'm like, and then my internet's bad. So, like, I just got my hotspot set up again.
I have no idea what that means, but we'll figure it out. We're all good.
All right.
So you went to school in St. Cloud. What school is in St. Cloud?
St. Cloud State University. The school where everyone goes to drink.
Is it northwest Minnesota?
It's a little north. It's west of Minneapolis. I would say so.
I had a buddy, his name was Jeremy O'Hara, and I think he might have gone to school there, but maybe not.
It's a bigger school. I went to the tech school, so there's something called Tech there. I went there for the first 2 years and saved a bunch of money, and then I went to State after that. But State is huge. Like, everyone, like, it's like come from all around Minnesota to go there. So
gotcha. Super warm up there, I've heard.
Oh, I mean, it's warm everywhere.
Oh.
I mean, it's well, what, everywhere, dude. In Minnesota, it sucks.
Minnesota.
Yeah. Literally, it's like, it's either like absolutely freezing or you're sweating your balls off. Like, there's no in between, dude. Like, we were outside in like 93 degree sun today, just like chilling. And it was like, it was fun. I mean, like, we were in a pool, but. Yeah, it's extremes here. That's all it is. Yeah.
And I have a lot of family that lives in the Twin Cities and Waseca and Mankato. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of my family lives just on the other side of the Iowa border, right off of I-35. So, like, if you cross into the Iowa border, there's the Diamond Joe Casino. Mm-hmm. They live, like, off of that exit. So, nice. Very, very familiar with your neck of the woods.
With at, the area.
At Christensen, at Christensen Christmas, it's my name's Cody. So I understand Minnesota pretty well.
Oh, man. Ale's just dying at that one.
That's some Fargo
Cody,
shit, dude.
Cody, are you guys hearing it? Are you guys hearing it as I'm talking too? Obviously, I don't even know, but
oh, just yeah, a we touch, have not even that have, much.
I can hear. We have thick accents, man. Yeah, we really do. Sure. I'm not like Fred Pacci though. I'm not like Fred is even thicker, man. Like he sounds like completely Minnesotan because he's in Canada. But true. Like, yeah.
Oh, Fred.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a heart.
When Fred leaves his voice memos in our group chat, and I'm just, it's hilarious, dude, to hear that Canadian, so thick Canadian accent.
It's thick as hell, yeah.
He's great, though. Have you had Fred on yet?
I have not. Do you know but Fred? I talked with Fred just a couple weeks ago, because I think he posted something about working out, and he was crushing it. Yeah, so I should totally have Fred on. But yeah, Ben. Don't be self-conscious of the accent. I love it. Most of my relatives have that accent, so no.
Yeah, for sure.
No,
I'm
worries.
Not self-conscious
no
at all.
Worries.
I was just seeing if you could even tell, because I, like, obviously never – I don't speak to a lot of people outside this area ever. So, like, whenever I do – or I go to Vegas or I go on a trip and they're like, where the hell are you from?
Minnesota, don't you know?
Yeah, I'm Minnesota.
Like, we can tell it's not
yeah, you're
around
for sure
here,
not
but,
from
but
around
where
here.
Is
you're
it?
For sure. That's all we know. But like,
I've heard it in a movie before. I just can't pinpoint it.
So when are you guys going to meet up in person for the first time? Do you guys
Dude,
have something?
I had a chance, and then I missed it.
I think so. Well, Ben, I think when you come visit your parents again, you can come out.
Yeah. Oh, for
and,
sure.
And hang. You can definitely stay with me, and let's make music
yeah
in person.
I dropped down in the Denver
bring your
yeah,
laptop or
in
whatever
the Denver airport. I might drive next time, but yeah, I dropped down right next to Ale and just like proceeded to drive to Wyoming. But is yeah he, definitely are, for are sure your, yes
are your parents in Cheyenne?
Yeah, they are. Yep.
Okay. Oh yeah, then you're right there, dude.
Yeah,
that's like
yeah they picked me up and we like just drove columns. Yeah, it wasn't that far at all. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I have that plan, and I want to meet up with I want to go to the Netherlands and hang with Shiro too.
Is that where he's at? Yeah, I never knew
also,
where he was.
That is wild. Yeah, he's in the Netherlands.
That's so dope.
And shout out Shiro too. But and Cody, I have this vision, dude. Like, I sat one day and I thought, like, how dope would it be to maybe like invite like a handful of producers to come here and just rent out a huge like Airbnb,
yep.
And we all kind of split it. And we all just stay there for maybe 1-2 weeks
like
or something.
Like a big old Airbnb.
And we all have our own little – yeah, we all have our own setups. And we just fucking crank tunes out, like, and just, you know, go crazy and just have all of us in the same spot and then, you know, go out, hang out at night, and then just spend all day making
music.
Dude. Like, that to me is, like, the dream, dude.
Just
it
like
would
a beat
be
retreat.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
A beat retreat.
Yeah.
A beat retreat. Yeah,
I saw a Playground Music just did it. They had a bunch of producers out to God knows where. I'm not sure where they're stationed at, but yeah, they had like all these like producers that I've like listened to for a while now, and just like all there, just like making music and just like hanging out. I was like, dude, yeah, that is,
yeah,
for
that's
sure realistic. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, do it up in the mountain. Do it up in the mountains, you know. And so we're all secluded away, and we can just make music like the whole time and just see what comes out of it. If nothing does, cool, whatever, we still have fun. But
yeah, dude,
if like a bunch of dope ass tracks come out of it, even better.
A bunch
it's
will.
Just like I just want that.
Yeah, dude, for real.
A bunch will.
Well, of course,
1,000%.
Yeah, we'll all learn something at least.
But
man,
but I told Shiro, I'm like, yeah, but I told Shiro, I was like, dude, you, because he wants to come to America too and visit, and I'm like, dude, we should just do that. Mm-hmm. Man, we should just have like, and then like have Cohen fly out from Philly and just like have us all in one spot just for a week or two and just have some fun.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, I love that idea. I think we should, and Colorado's a great place, especially if we can get some West Coast people. It's pretty central location. I'm 100% in. That
it's central
like
for sure.
Yeah,
I mean
idea.
There's some people in Cali that would want to that are close enough too. Like, it is very central. Like, it's like everyone is kind of the same distance away if you're like inland, at least like North America, you know?
And yeah, yeah. If there's a couple Red Rock shows that might interest people around that same time. Dig,
yes. Exactly. Yeah, like dude. We definitely make it a vacation type thing where mm-hmm. like it's we have a ton of fun.
Hell yeah, dude. You know?
Mm-hmm. So like I would love to do that.
Yeah, well, and the inspiration of a Red Rock show, like being able to throw that in the mix, and like Sick. Phil, you and I are spoiled, right? Like that's the home venue.
I know.
It's mm-hmm. so, yeah, we're so spoiled. I remember.
I can drive there in 20 minutes.
Yeah, dude,
you're well, just taking was, advantage I, of it. You're taking advantage.
It was a show last year, and I think it was like 70% of the way through the headliner set that I was like, oh yeah, I should like look at the rocks. And, you know, and like I was there for like 5 hours before yeah. I was like, oh yeah, oh yeah.
You're like, I'm just here too often.
look how
I'm
cool this is.
Often, yeah. This one, I know. I just went and saw Action Bronson, yeah. there, dude, and I was the same way. I was filming him, and I'm like, no, I want to show people how beautiful this spot is. And I was just getting all the, like those rock shots where the yeah, lights dude. Hitting it just perfect, and oh my god, dude! But Action tore it up. I got to give props to Action Bronson. Like, I didn't expect much, and he just ripped it, dude.
Wild.
He
ripped it. It was
honestly,
such a good
like,
show.
Live performances are more and more impressive these days. Like, I guess it's, like, different with rap, but, like, for people who sing, like, it doesn't seem like they yeah. can do it anymore. Like, or as well as they
I know.
To.
It's like with hip-hop. I think with hip-hop, especially live shows, can be hit or miss. Like, I've heard people say, oh man, I saw the Wu-Tang and it was so terrible. Like they were all talking over each other and it was just like the sound wasn't good. And then, but then I saw like Redman and Method Man and that fucking like blew my like wig yeah. back, dude. It was amazing. Yeah,
for sure.
So it's just all hit. Like I've seen KRS-One, like be amazing. I've seen Wyclef, Lauryn Hill. I've seen like so many good hip hop shows, but I know like sometimes if the sound isn't right.
Yeah,
like,
dude, how do they miss on that? That's like the one thing.
I know.
That's important.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, well,
I know.
Ben, I mean, a flight from Minneapolis to Denver, what? That's like an hour and 45 minutes?
Yeah, it's not too bad. No.
Yeah, dude. Look up that Red Rocks calendar.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
We don't need to wait that long.
I drove like right past it too when I was there, and I was like, God dang, that's so cool. I didn't even think I'd ever be close to this. Like ever, you know, so
it's a great venue.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And it's cool. If there isn't a show going on, you can just go there and hike.
Oh yeah, dude.
And run
I was going to say,
stairs.
I'm not surprised yeah. you moved to the mountains because like when I went there to visit my family, they drove me back into the mountains, like closer to where I landed and we climbed one. And I'm like, this is like absolutely breathtaking. Like I never thought I'd even see anything.
Oh yeah.
I never thought I'd even see anything like this in my whole fucking life. And it's just like, right in front of me, and I'm like, this like I'm just used to being surrounded by buildings, you know, like it was not yeah. even close to what I was used to. Like it was crazy, it's
incredible. So I've lived in Colorado I think 9 years, and so I moved out here mm-hmm. as soon as I graduated from high school in Iowa, and fortunately my lack of understanding of mountains is what led me to climbing a bunch of them. Cause
hey,
like
that'll do.
This is exactly how I thought. I saw a mountain and I said, I'm pretty sure if we just like walk, like if we just keep walking, like we'll get to the top of that. And like that was my hiking philosophy.
Yeah,
and thank God I had it because it's turned into a lot of magnificent adventures. And so my fiance grew up in Colorado, surrounded by mountains. Like from her parents' property, you can see like 14,000 foot peaks. And she didn't start climbing mountains until she got with me. You know, she was just used to it. She was
really?
like, yeah, those are the mountains.
Like, oh, it's like, just the scenery. It's just the scenery.
Yeah, and I was like, I was like, let's just walk up there.
It's
I think,
wild.
Yeah. Get a PB&J and some water.
But Cody, I find that a lot with natives that from Colorado, like, they're
just
from here and they never snowboard.
Yeah.
Like, they've never gone. Mm-hmm. They're just like, we just never wanted to do it or got, because we're born here. Yeah. You know, it's like,
it's not as exciting.
And like, no, I moved out here to learn to snowboard.
Yeah,
but,
for sure.
Just, it's kind of crazy hearing that, but I get it because you just, you know, if you're from there, you're not going to, you get used to mm-hmm. it. You know, you're used to seeing all that stuff every day, but I've been here a long time. And even when I come into like a clear opening and you just see the Rockies and those snow peaks and everything, just, I still like, man, it takes my breath away, dude.
It really does.
It's still amazing.
Driving around there was absolutely wild. Like And it is like, you just like, you would just have to keep walking. Like I was like a third of the way up probably. And I was like,
yeah,
I don't know about it, man. Like, and it wasn't a big one. I wrote the name down somewhere too. I'm not going to find it now, of the name of the mountain, but I forget even the footage, but right. it was like medium sized, you know. They were like, oh yeah, you'll be fine, Ben. You'll be fine. You're active. You're young, like whatever. And I got like a third of the way up and I was like, yeah, it looks crazy looking down for one. And like, it feels like we're not even on it yet. Like,
yeah.
And they're like, no, we're like a third of the way there. And I was like, what? I can still see the mountain. We're not even on it. Like, and that's just how it felt, like almost the whole way up until you were like close. It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah. And you're like, hey, why is there a mountain lion just?
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Thank God we didn't see any of those. Cause I was like, I had enough to deal with.
You see some crazy, wildlife out here too, dude. Just the other day, there was this fucking huge ass snake in my front yard. Juliana's mom walks in. She's like, you know, there's this massive snake in your yard. I'm like, what?
Aww.
I looked out, dude. This thing is huge, and it's just like chilling right by our front door. I'm like, oh my god,
you've never seen that once.
No, that's what I looked for immediately. It wasn't, dude. I think it was what's called a western ribbon snake. They're harmless, but they just get really fucking big.
Yeah.
You know, for a harmless
dude,
snake.
Yeah, like, if you're harmless, don't get that big, man. What are you eating? Like, it looks like you're eating.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It looks like you're eating humans.
You're supposed to be cute. What the fuck are
you
doing?
You're not eating salads, dude.
No way. Yeah, dude.
How harmless? Harmless to what?
Yeah, dude. I was hiking in Wisconsin. We went to a Airbnb in Wisconsin on Superior, and we were like right on Superior, and it was gorgeous. And we were hiking, and as we were leaving, we're hiking for like hours. As we're leaving, we're pulling out of the parking lot, and there's three bears just like going back into the woods where like we just were. We're like, oh, that is an amazing time to see them when we're like in our car driving away.
Yeah.
So I've never seen bears
out here. Too.
Yeah. I've never seen a bear in real life. And I saw three of them things at the same time. And I was like, holy shit. Thank God we're leaving.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you guys, I mean, Minnesota has wolves, right? Like,
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen a wolf here, but like I've definitely heard of people seeing them. Yes.
Damn.
Yeah, and they're not nice if you're close.
No,
you hear them from the distance.
No,
and stuff,
no, hell
like,
no.
Yeah, no, don't walk up to one. For sure.
They can be a little wolfy. they tend to be wolfish.
Yeah.
what is it? Are they just like, are they huge? Are they like big wolves or?
I mean, like they like, can
what,
get
what
big.
Kind of,
yeah, not the, like the ones you see on like those Instagram videos where it's like, this is a wolf, but it like looks like the size of a bear. Like it's obviously not that big.
Yeah, but it looks like a fucking savage, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. No, it just looks like the wrong dog like got lost and hasn't been found. Like that's kind of how.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my god, dude.
Man. Okay. So back to music, fellas. What?
Yeah. Yeah.
So thinking about your collaborations moving forward. Mm-hmm. What kind of conversations have you guys had with yourself in regards to strategy and trying to land labels? Or are you guys just going to continue to try and have fun?
You can have fun with labels.
No,
you can have fun with labels.
True. Good point.
We have fun with labels. We have fun with labels. But no, I...
All the labels I work with, I love working with you and it's fun.
Yeah, for real. Put that on the
you
record.
You just plugged in haiku, though. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. But no, I would say no. I don't know if we'll do another independent release like this. All the stuff we've made, we've released other stuff is released on labels, and we've got some other stuff coming that's on labels. And I guess we'll just see what the collab, how it comes out, and what we think we can do, because we can just release through Dash Go, because he has, you know, Ben has his own account there. Mm-hmm. So if we ever do want to go that route, we can,
I'm still trying to drop independent whenever I can, like especially when it's a beat where I'm like, I shouldn't even like waste my couple weeks of time like waiting to get a no, essentially. Like if it's like pretty far out there, I'll normally self-release. And like still sometimes get like added to some playlists, just because after all these, like the last couple of years, I've had these hookups with some people, with some labels, mm-hmm. that will like, oh, I'll put your independent release on. And that's what's happening with our singles right now, and that's why we're gaining so much traction on them. But yeah, like it's just hard, like especially with the editorial scene right now. Like,
yeah, the relationships
no one's
built.
Yeah, no one's like landing self-releases on editorials, as far as I know right now. Like, none of, no one in my clique. So, like,
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about that
a little bit.
So last year, last year it seems like, wow, you could just kind of release anything and stand a good chance on an editorial. And they were all updating almost all on Friday, it seemed like. So you're releasing on Friday, and the kind of fun thing was, let's see what editorial we may have made today. And now ever since, and Cody, you may know more than me, but it seems like ever since the layoffs at Spotify happened and things have switched around, it's like barely any of the editorials are updating regularly. Sometimes it takes months. Lo-Fi Beats is still updating, but it's very, the new tracks they're adding are very scarce. Like, it's, the amount is scarce. And it's just odd. It's just a really weird time for lo-fi as far as like editorials and stuff right now.
For sure.
Almost like you want to just kind of get, if you're going to do a label, just get with the label that, you know, has the big playlists already and is going to promote your stuff. Because, you know, some of these labels, I'm not going to, you know, probably not mention names, but it's like you give them your music that you work so hard on and they're just banking on it landing on an editorial. And then when it doesn't, they don't do shit.
Sure.
They don't, there's no communication. There's no, you know, effort on their part. I remember you had Maya UK on, and who I love, who's great, big fan. And he kind of said, he had a perspective on it. It's like, man, with a lot of these labels and quotes, he's like, it's more like you're just setting up a business transaction. And I totally agree with him on that.
Sure.
Because a lot of these labels are just trying to make money really quick and trying to take your music and just pray they get on an editorial because they have had the luck to do it in the past. But now it's kind of changed. So you kind of need to look for the correct labels that are really going to promote your music if that's what you're going for. And there's definitely those labels exist.
Yeah, for sure. So, and that's why, it's unfortunate. I kind of like, I'd be self-releasing so much more if that landscape didn't change so abruptly after the layoffs, because I thought I was getting to the level of like being ready to have my self-releases land, you know, like I thought I was having enough releases, gaining enough traction, and that it was kind of bad timing with what's been happening, because now like I'm not even landing on the labels that I have landed with, you know? And that thing that Elle's talking about where it's like a transaction, like I'm like for sure feeling that also, and like trying to steer away from that and focus on the ones that I've made relationships with and actually provide me value without an editorial. Cause like it ebbs and flows so much, this business, it seems like he said, just last year we were like, we were pretty much landing one weekly or like bi-weekly, and there was a lot more opportunity for everyone, you know? And now it's just like so scarce. Yeah. A lot of them aren't getting updated. And we're on some of those ones that aren't getting updated. So we're like also counting our blessings, right? So like, but you know, it's just a weird time, you know? And so I am still self-releasing because I know I have people that will support me, but I would be doing it so much more if it weren't for that change that we're going through right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's that change in strategy that we know is going to continuously happen. And last year was great for independent releases. It truly was. And then literally it was like at the start of this year of my percentages of independence landing dropped immensely. And so when you're thinking about numbers, it's like, okay, well, in last year, man, I was hammering independent releases with my projects.
And, I missed out, man. I missed out. I was still trying to build, and then I just like went right when I started. It was when it happened, and that's just how it goes.
Well, and that's part of it. And you know, we have AI coming out over the next several years, which is there's so many things that like we're gonna have to dodge and pivot. And figure out strategies for, but it is certainly interesting. But in regards to the labels, and I've been a proponent of this a lot. One, I had this perspective because my first independent track landed big, right? Yeah. So obviously like, well, independent releases are where it's at. This is fantastic.
You're in a different hallway than we are, for sure.
That was my perspective. And so working with other artists who wanted to then sign our collaborations with labels, I was like, why? You know, and the other thing is like, oh, they have a good relationship with curators. And I'm like, what does that mean?
You're like, and so do I. Yeah. I'm do hearing they if they're him? Taking 60%.
Yeah. Do they know him personally or they've landed on editorials? Yeah. So that's always interesting. And then it's like, so if I'm going to give 50% to this label based on their playlists or their connections, what's the number of streams that they can give me? And then like, what is it worth it? And if it's not worth it, well, then just go independent. And you know, because then if you land, you got to keep it to yourself. And I mean, there's so many different ways to play the game.
Of course.
But that's where my head's at. But I'm also, you know, I'm fortunate to work with a collaborator who's the hardest working person I've ever worked with. He's unbelievable. And he lives in Minnesota as well.
Nice. Kanye does 5 beats a day for 3 summers, but Kelly does like 50 beats a day every month.
Pretty much, man. So, nice. So Kelly, we've been working together for a year and a half. We've been working together for a year and a half, and he's taken 2 days off.
Wow.
That whole time.
Wild, man.
Of doing music for what? Like at least
of doing music,
hours
he's taken
what?
2 days off. He got COVID and he took 2 days off from making music. Oh, and aside from that, he's literally been making music every single day.
That's so cool to hear.
It's phenomenal. He's in St. Peter.
Oh, okay.
Minnesota.
And Ben, the coolest thing, the dude is like what, 60?
Seven.
He's almost 70
he is,
years
he's
old.
67.
67 years old, and he's killing it in lo-fi.
Crushes.
Dude. Killing it.
Yeah.
Crushes. That's crazy, dude. What?
Man.
Yeah. He's got 2 albums signed to Lo-Fi Girl, dude.
Yeah.
He's killing it.
Yeah.
Send me his address.
It's phenomenal. So. Yeah. I've signed so many contracts. I actually have it memorized. I've signed it. Yeah, actually,
dude, for
I'm
real, that was
it
one
in my
thing
head.
My
I definitely
wife
know
said,
it.
Though, that was one thing my wife said when I started doing this was like, "You're giving your address away," and I'm like, "These contracts need my freaking address. I don't know, like, or like some other info like that." It's just like they're gonna come for what, like, for my little like couple cents we made on the release. I don't know, man. I don't think they're showing up.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah, so I guess in short, fellas, it's the strategies will continue to shift, and while it's good, we got to capitalize, and then if it's not, it's like, well, and that's, you know, even for me, I was playing the independent strategy for really like a year and a half, and not necessarily building a lot of relationships with labels because I was like, dude, I'm just gonna try to go independent as much as possible. So I definitely had to.
Yeah,
I definitely had to hustle hard to build those relationships quickly, I don't know, fella. And
Cody, this podcast really helped you build some relations.
1,000%.
Yeah, I mean,
1,000%.
Dude, everyone you've had on here knows.
You became friends with some really good people who, in turn, I became friends with because of you, like Theo and Cohen.
Everyone
dude.
On here has had like. Great. Super big hookup. So yeah, if you know them, you got the hookups, man. So yeah, you're good.
I definitely lucky with the podcast. That helped me. Well, I mean, it did, because I was just like, hey, you release with these people a lot. Can you introduce me? And that was it.
Yeah, sure.
That was it. So I definitely.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely. Fortunate.
Pretty much. Yeah, why not?
I had no idea what this podcast was going to turn into, and right now, like, it's a diary for myself. It's a diary for other artists, and it's a diary for the scene in its entirety, really.
Yeah, no, it's great. I love listening to your podcast. Like every time there's a new one, I get excited because it's really cool when I know the person. I'm like, oh, cool. I can't wait to hear, you know, my friend be interviewed by Cody, who I'm also friends with. It's great, dude.
Yeah, it's
we gotta tell our friends about this one.
Fortunate and I need to get Fred on and some other people in your network. So let's line that up and get your homies on and keep this podcast friendship blown up.
Fred would love to come on the podcast. I already know it. He's very vocal. And Ben actually started this kind of Instagram group called the Jam Squad.
Nice.
And Fred's part of it. But it's probably right now, it's probably like 20 different producers. And we just all kind of talk shit throughout the day. It's great when you're at work and you're just like bored and you're just let's go talk in the Jam Squad and talk shit with like a bunch of other producers for a while. But we have so much fun. But we're even, and you'll like this, Cody, where Ben had the idea of let's all make a sample pack. Everybody in the Jam Squad in this IG thread, let's all, everybody make 5 to 7 samples. And Ben put this together. And like, so we're all working on our own little individual sample packs, and we're going to put it into one big sample pack with every producer that's in kind of the Jam Squad that wants to do it. And it's going to be cool. I think we're giving it away for free. You're giving it away for free, Ben, right?
No, we are.
We might have lost Ben.
Did we lose him?
Okay. Lost him for-
I'm going to say we're giving it away for free.
He's going to re-listen to this.
Shout out Jam Squad. We got a free sample pack on the way from several different producers. And you're going to be able to download it very soon.
There he is. Okay. Ben gives the approval.
Now he's back.
Good. You got to. Okay. You got approval.
Yes. You're cutting out, brother.
Oh, we lost him.
Lost him again.
Well,
that's okay.
Phil, let's wrap this up, brother.
All good.
July 14th is album release date, correct?
Yes. July 14th, album release. And I'd like to say this. The album's called Beasts That Drip Through the Night. July 14th, it'll be out on streaming platforms. But I'm going to put the whole thing on Bandcamp. I think there's 12 tracks total. I'm going to put it on Bandcamp probably the week before and kind of promote that. Anybody who wants to support can come just buy the album, have the tracks, probably a week before. But I'll post all that on my Instagram, which you can just look up Ale Filmin on, you know, Instagram. If you don't follow me, I'll pop right up in Benjamin Beats as well. But yeah, we're excited, and hopefully people support the Bandcamp, you know, side of it too. And yeah.
Perfect. And for when am I releasing this episode?
Well, we had planned you were going to drop it after the album comes out, but if you need to release it before, that's, you know, it's fine too.
Whatever works best.
Whatever
works best for this strategy.
Yeah.
Can you guys hear me now? Am I back?
Yes, there he is.
Okay. I didn't know if you could. I'm so sorry. Can I talk about the sample pack and the Jam Squad a second? Or are we out of time?
Oh, boy. Yeah, we can, brother.
Can you hear me?
Dial up.
Oh my God. You guys suck. God damn it.
Benjamin. All right, brothers. Well,
thank you,
of
Cody.
Of course, guys.
I appreciate you, man.
Of course.
And thank you, Ben.
Yes.
If you can kind of hear me, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you, Cody.
Of course, fellas. Well, I'm excited for you guys to work on a second album. I'm excited to get some more of your squad members on the podcast. And Ben, we'll get you on a solo episode too, so we can start from baby Ben to Benjamin Beats and get the full story.
Yeah, dude, for real. I'll go to a coffee shop or something for Wi-Fi.
All right.
That works.
All right, everyone.
All the
links are in the bio, the description. So, yeah, just click those. Much love.
Follow me on Instagram.
All right, cool.
Like, follow,
stream the album,
comment, subscribe. All right, peace out, everybody.
Later.